Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
I'm Katia Adler from the Global Story podcast. Today we're looking at Sudan and the brutal conflict raging there. We hear from some of the millions of civilians brutalised and displaced. It's been dubbed the Forgotten War. But is it more ignored than forgotten by the international community? And if so, why? Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
The American movie star Leonardo DiCaprio has more than 61 million followers on Instagram. So when in July he posted calling for the protection of a nature reserve in the Philippines, it made headline news.
Hinikayat ng Hollywood actor na si Leonardo DiCaprio ang publiko.
The Philippine media, like state-owned PTV, eagerly covered the story. It wasn't just that Leo was mentioning the Philippines on his socials. It was also the fact that he was accusing the government's environment department of putting this nature reserve at risk, which they denied, thanking him for his concern. Meanwhile, on Facebook, news outlets posted about the story too, and readers made their feelings known in the comments area. Some of them didn't seem quite happy with the actor's intervention.
Don't be a loser, Leonardo.
Does Leo know what's the real story behind the issue?
But there was something unusual about these comments. They were posted by accounts with very few friends, accounts that seemed to have very little interest in anything that wasn't, well, related to the environment department, which made me wonder, could there be more to them than met the eye?
All of these are very consistent with what I've seen before previously while monitoring troll farm activity.
Internet trolls? Really? But working for whom and to do what exactly? Getting those answers was not going to be easy. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Marco Silva with BBC Trending, where we take an investigative look at the world of social media. For this episode, I've been trying to figure out how a world-famous nature reserve in the Philippines got caught in an information battle unfolding on social media. This story starts at the Masungi Geo Reserve, an area covered in lush rainforest to the east of Manila, the capital of the Philippines. And it's there you'll find two sisters, Anne and Billy Dumalyang. Together they help run the Masungi Geo Reserve Foundation. That's the non-profit whose job it is to look after some 3,000 hectares of rainforest.
We grew up going there on the weekends to look at the place, to enjoy the area. And to an extent, that's why we always say it almost feels like a little brother who we grew up with.
That was Anne you heard there. She showed me photos of the Masungi she remembers from her childhood. The landscape looked quite different back then.
It was barren, and the most you'll have around would be grass. The most biodiversity we had in the area were the goats I used to play with, and that was it.
That all changed in part because of Anne and Billy's dad. In the early 2000s, the Philippine government gave him and his construction business the mandate to conserve and rehabilitate hundreds of hectares of forest. The result?
After 20 years of restoring it, it's now a very lush forest that's home to a lot of different forms of life.
If you search for the word Masungi on social media today, you'll find photos of thick rainforests, gravity-defying rock formations and rare plants. But that's not all. Anne's sister Billy claims that Masungi's abundant forests also help protect the region against flooding.
We call it the last green corridor outside Manila because when you look at the map, the Masungi is the last remaining green area towards the east of Metro Manila, and then to the west is already brown, degraded, urbanized areas.
But this journey, this transformation Masungi underwent over the years, it wasn't always easy. Not everyone felt this large area should be protected, illegal loggers, land grabbers, quarrying companies, they all try to exploit this land for their own gain, and if done so, not always through peaceful means.
My first day with the foundation, coming out of a corporate job, I was called on site. There was somebody from the site, a ranger, calling my dad. And I could hear machine gun fire coming through the phone. And so we went straight to the site, and I was greeted by, you know, an armed group trying to invade the forest land.
And this is not unique to Masungi. According to Global Witness, the campaigning group, the Philippines ranks as the worst, most dangerous place in Asia for environmental defenders like the Dumalyang sisters.
We do get the threats. I think we've learned to accept that as a part of the work. It doesn't make it any more easier. It's still daunting to receive them.
But the death threats, the guns, they're only one part of the story. And that's because, according to the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation, which the sisters run together, they have also been facing challenges online.
Every time we do a campaign against a destructive interest, such as a campaign against quarrying, we see retaliation coming in the form of misleading information and fake news that is trying to manufacture dissent against the work that we do.
And Billy says that in recent months, things have taken a turn for the worse. First, a bit of context. Back in 2017, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources signed a contract with the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation. This contract tasked the foundation with reforesting an additional 2,700 hectares of land just down the road from the existing reserve. But since that deal was struck, things have changed.
Environment Secretary Tony Loizaga claims the contract with the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation was void from the very beginning. Loizaga told a Senate hearing the Justice Department considers the contract unconstitutional and recommended it be cancelled.
Yes, as you heard in that ANC news report, the current government wants to scrap that contract. They say it hands Masungi all this land for an unlimited amount of time, which, according to a legal opinion by the Philippine Department for Justice, goes against the Constitution. The cancellation of this contract is still being discussed in Congress, but if the government gets its way, the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation will no longer be in charge of these 2,700 hectares of forest. I asked the sisters what they made of it all. Billy first.
There is simply no logical reason for you to discontinue a project as advantageous as this. If there are legal issues, let's talk about them.
There are 100 steps between what we have now and a cancellation, and yet they're opting for cancellation.
But around the time this proposal was made, Masungi's parent company also sent the Environment Department a big bill for more than 1 billion Philippine pesos. That's over $17 million in expenses the company says it had over the years. The Environment Department said this bill was based on questionable contracts with the government.
When we see the change that we're doing, then we know we can't just leave Masungi alone again. We can't have restored it and then just abandon it again. That would be a disservice.
I stand with Masungi GeoReserve. World leaders should safeguard biodiversity areas.
That's Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg calling for Masungi to be protected in a video posted on social media last April. She was just one of a slew of celebrities who came out in support of Masungi after the government made its plans known. There was Filipino actress and singer Nadine Lustre, English zoologist Dr. Jane Goodall, and of course, Leo DiCaprio.
The scrapping of the deal was not received nicely by the public.
But despite all the celebrity endorsements, Billy says the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation started coming under attack online. A disinformation campaign, she claims, aimed at discrediting them.
It seems like we're being ganged upon by local politicians together with some people from the DNR.
The Environment Department, that is.
Together with their cohorts in these destructive industries. And that's what makes it so hard for us to continue this project, because there's a lot of political resistance towards the good that this project brings.
The Environment Department denies this allegation. In a statement, it told the BBC it is transparent, accurate and fair in its communication efforts. It says suggesting otherwise is unequivocally false and misguided. So, was there indeed a disinformation campaign going on, like Billy suggested? That's coming up next. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Katia Adler from the Global Story podcast. Today we're looking at Sudan and the brutal conflict raging there. We hear from some of the millions of civilians brutalized and displaced. It's been dubbed the Forgotten War. But is it more ignored than forgotten by the international community? And if so, why? Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Marco Silva, and this is the documentary with BBC Trending. In search of answers, I looked through dozens of Facebook posts, and in some of them, especially in posts published by news outlets, I noticed a pattern. A group of Facebook accounts appeared to be jumping from one post to the next. Wherever they went, they left comments that either praised the Environment Department...
They just did what they thought was right and appropriate.
Good job!
Or instead, cast aspersions on the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation and its parent company. That's the construction business owned by Anne and Billy's dad.
This is not about Masungi, but about the company that manages it.
The Environment Department has seen sketchy behavior a long time ago.
At a glance, you might say there's nothing about these comments that breaks Facebook's rules, except that there was something not quite right about the accounts posting them. You see, it didn't look like they belonged to real people. For a start, their profile pictures were random. Stock images, cat pictures, women in revealing outfits. Several of these accounts were also created within hours of each other. And some of them only posted and shared content about the Environment Department.
All of these are very consistent with what I've seen before previously while monitoring troll farm activity.
Regine Cabato is a journalist based in Manila. She has a lot of experience covering what we call influence operations. Any attempt to change people's political views by, for example, manipulating social media. She looked at a small sample of the comments I spotted.
I haven't dug into it as deeply as you have, but a very quick look at it shows that a lot of the comment sections have a certain script, and this is often a script that is decided on by a strategist in a room that kind of has a call center set up where you have a team who runs multiple accounts, say on Facebook and on other social media sites.
And indeed, I was surprised by the similarities between many of the comments I read, from the structure of their sentences or the subject matter, down to the choice of words. But I wondered just how common that type of influence operation might be in the Philippines.
It has become a norm, I'm afraid. This is something that we've seen play out during elections against certain political targets, and sometimes it's something that we've seen also deployed against private individuals.
We cannot say for sure that what Regine described is what happened in this particular case, but there are similarities between what I observed and the tactics she has reported on in the past. As it turns out, these accounts didn't just post comments. They also shared posts and memes that, again, either supported the Environment Department's plans or attacked the Masungi GeoReserve Foundation. Primarily, this content came from a handful of Facebook pages with random names. Cold Truth, I Support, Good to Know, one of which even bought Facebook adverts making dubious claims about the reserve. Those ads were later shared across dozens of Facebook groups by this army of fake accounts.
The goal for these types of networks is to be able to penetrate new audiences, new groups, to get new eyeballs on their message.
In total, I spotted just short of 100 Facebook accounts engaging in this sort of behavior, which may not seem like a lot, but if you take a moment to consider that many of these accounts posted dozens of comments, that some of them shared the same posts across dozens of groups, groups with thousands and thousands of followers, well, you start getting a sense of just how far they reached. Regine says they can put real pressure on Masungi, but whether or not they can actually sway public opinion, that's a different question.
Online propaganda can be quite important in creating a fear factor for the people who work in Masungi. And I think that even though the general public might not change its opinion about this particular issue, the fact that there is intimidation towards Masungi, that is alarming enough.
I told Meta, Facebook's parent company, about what I found. They removed most of these accounts and pages for engaging in
deceptive, spammy activity, including amplifying content using fake accounts to make it appear more popular than it was.
Which breaks Facebook's rules. Our suspicions were right. There was indeed a coordinated effort to praise the Environment Department and criticize the Masungi GeoReserve. One question remained, though. If these accounts acted like a small army of puppets, all moving in tandem, then who was their puppeteer? Who was pulling the strings from the shadows? I asked Regine for her best guess.
We can definitely make assumptions based on who benefits the most from a particular influence campaign. You might not be able to tell how much was paid for it, if it was even paid for at all, if it was organic, although in this particular case, the signs are that it was a campaign that was paid for or coordinated by some sort of strategist.
Again, paid by whom? As it turns out, there was one last set of clues for me to explore. Remember those anti-Masungi Facebook ads I mentioned before? Well, Meta keeps an archive of all ads shown on the platform, and by looking there, I found the name of the person who bought them, Ben Pablo. On social media, he described himself as a public relations consultant who specializes in reputation management.
Social media users, nakaramihan ay kabataan.
That's him speaking on 95.1 Home Radio back in 2021. He appeared as a guest in a program devoted to the following year's presidential election. I had many, many questions for him. So I tried to email him, to call him, without luck. He didn't respond to any of my questions, but after I contacted him, every Facebook page I asked him about was deleted. He also deleted his personal accounts on various social media platforms. He just vanished off the internet. Even so, I was still able to learn that in recent months he'd bought adverts on behalf of other pages, and the ads I've seen promoted one politician in particular, Philippine Senator Aimee Marcos.
Political freedoms indeed have their place in the sun.
She is the daughter of former dictator Ferdinand Marcos, and also the sister of the current president, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., popularly known as Bongbong Marcos. I asked the senator's team whether she'd ever employed Mr. Pablo, but they did not respond. I also asked the Department of Environment and Natural Resources for an interview. They were not available and sent us a statement instead, saying,
"The department has no involvement in any social media campaign, activity, or other online tactics aimed at influencing public opinion in a negative manner."
It says the government appreciates the statements of concern by the likes of Leo DiCaprio or Greta Thunberg, but it also adds,
"No one is exempt from the law."
These posts, accounts, pages, they might seem harmless, at least when compared to the guns, the threats Anne and Billy have had to deal with as part of their job running the foundation. But surely, I wondered, it must have an effect on them personally too, and first.
it could be clouding sometimes, you know, to be in the eye of the storm, to have to deal with multiple campaigns all at the same time, to have all of this disinformation on top of all of the enforcement activities you need to do on the ground. And sometimes we fail to see how far we've also gone.
Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel?
Sometimes, of course. But again, we look every time we visit the site, the trees that are already 7 feet tall, 10 feet tall, that we've planted just 3-4 years ago. You know, every time we hear the birds, every time we see the landscape, the sunset, unobstructed, right? We are reminded of the reason why we're doing this. It is to preserve this special place.
You've been listening to The Documentary with BBC Trending. I'm Marco Silva. I produced and presented this episode. Hal Haynes did the sound mixing. Flora Carmichael was our editor. If you'd like to get in touch about this episode, come and find me on my socials at BBC Marco Silva or email me, marco.silva@bbc.co.uk. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
I'm Katia Adler from the Global Story podcast. Today we're looking at Sudan and the brutal conflict raging there. We hear from some of the millions of civilians brutalized and displaced. It's been dubbed the Forgotten War. But is it more ignored than forgotten by the international community? And if so, why? Find us wherever you get your podcasts.